This is a podcast by The Straits Times and Money FM 89.3. Regional Roundup with Leslie Lopez, regional correspondent with The Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
7:22 on a Wednesday morning here on the Breakfast Huddle. Now, over 4 months from the military coup in Myanmar, and the situation has not improved. The UN says about 100,000 people have been displaced by new fighting between Myanmar's military and rebel groups in the eastern part of the country. The U.S. is now stepping up efforts to help the country return to a democracy, but will it be a tipping point? Elsewhere in the region, Malaysia has taken steps to accelerate its COVID-19 vaccine rollout with 4 new mega centers. Will this keep numbers for reaching record high? And finally, Vietnam. It has taken an unusual strategy to raise funding to buy vaccines for the country. Let's get analysis now and more on the developing stories around the region with Leslie Lopez, Straits Times regional correspondent. Good morning, Leslie. Let's start with Myanmar. I'm good. Yeah. It's a Wednesday, so you've got to be good on a Wednesday. Let's start with Myanmar first, Leslie, because it's back in the news. Of course, it never really disappeared. The coup leader, Min Aung Hlaing, has admitted in a recent interview aired on a military-owned TV station, that he had not anticipated the level of civil unrest that's been happening in Myanmar. Will this level of unrest, you think, continue until one side gives in?
Something's got to give in, but both sides appear to be digging their heels. And we talk about this each week, and the situation keeps getting worse. And I think the way things are playing out, especially in the east of the coup-stricken country, you've got a lot of more than 100,000 people displaced now, and we're talking about 4,500 detained, so many people who have been killed, so nearly 900 people have been killed already. So this level of unrest seems to suggest that we're really heading to some kind of serious civil strife, which is going to get even more bloody. So, really nothing good to report here, nothing nice. But, it's going to take a lot before things kind of ease. And I don't think we're seeing that anytime soon.
Well, not that I am supporting this, but on a political aspect of it, if you're going to stage a coup, you need to stamp out dissent as strongly as possible at the beginning. But it's gone on for way too long now.
Precisely, and it just shows how both sides are on such different pages, and it's bringing them to some kind of common ground is just so difficult. International diplomatic efforts have not yielded any results. The military appears to insist that they're doing the right thing, and people appear to be fighting back, and the level of opposition to the military, despite this, very, very harsh crackdown, is not working. So, people are rebelling, and it's going to be something that is going to be there for some time now. So I don't think the situation, there are any signs to suggest that the situation is going to get better.
Yeah, the people are very determined to get back the democracy that was taken away from them, it seems. And
exactly.
Southeast Asian foreign ministers, for one, expressed disappointment that Myanmar's coup leaders had not respected the demands, ASEAN's demand for a consensus that they agreed to in late April to end the violence. Will there be more pressure put on Myanmar on this in achieving a peaceful solution?
Clearly, simply talking, engaging with them is not doing any good, because the military appear to believe that they are right. They insist that the previous election commission ignored their claims that there was fraud in the election, so which is why they staged the coup. The people of Myanmar don't see it that way, and I think a lot of the people in the folks in the international community don't see it that way too. So the diplomatic approaches made by ASEAN and China clearly aren't yielding any results. One would have to think that the international community would have to step up, get more serious with Vietnam. You know, I'm not someone who advocates sanctions, but you know, clearly these are going to be options on the table soon if things don't get better.
This podcast is available on our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Like us and rate us. And now back to our podcast episode.
Well, let's move on now to Malaysia and the COVID-19 crisis there. There are vaccination centers in mega vaccination centers, in fact, in Kuala Lumpur and the Klang Valley, with a combined capacity of 23,000 people to serve when fully operational. I'm not sure if this 23,000 people is on a daily basis, but how is the COVID-19 immunization drive rolling out there in Malaysia?
Well, you know, it's a big story here, and there have been many stumbles. There are a lot of complaints about the supply of vaccines. I, for one, haven't got my vaccine yet,
wow.
Shot yet.
Okay.
You know, yeah, exactly. So, you know, so a lot of complaints. The government now is coming out to say, they will ramp it up by July and by August. But you know, in the meantime, numbers keep rising. You know. And the number of infections remain persistently high. The numbers have kind of shown a downward trend in recent days, but that is also because they've reduced the number of testing too, you know. But so I think people are looking at, you know, infection rates, and you know, so the situation here isn't good, and the government needs to come to terms with the vaccine rollout. People are suggesting that, you know, even medical officials are suggesting there is no need for these mega centers. You know, it's just more money on infrastructure. Mm-hmm. What really is needed is, you know, targeted vaccines, you know, going out there and vaccinating people, you know. So I think there is a need for the vaccine rollout to be reviewed, seriously reviewed, and the public is assured that, you know, the supplies are coming in, and they're coming in quickly, you know.
All right. One more thing developing in Malaysia. The king is going to forgo his birthday celebrations for a second year in a row now because of the COVID-19 situation. But apparently, instead of praise or gratitude, Malaysians have been sarcastically expressing fake sympathy for Sultan Abdullah Ahmad Shah. Has attitudes changed toward the monarchy in Malaysia since the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, you know, clearly, I think many observers of Malaysia, long time, I've been speaking to former senior editors, specifically of the Malay language newspapers, and, you know, what this, you know, very public show of displeasure, especially in Twitter sphere, and coming from young Malays, mm-hmm. is really something new towards the monarchy. For example, today, trending on Twitter now in Malaysia is Tasik Chini, which is the Chini Lake, a lake in a natural reserve that where a concession has been awarded to some people lying to the royalty. You know? And this is trending now. So it shows the level of displeasure. And I think, like I reported a few days ago, the brother sultans will be meeting. The king is also meeting with political parties beginning today, leaders of political parties. So I think what we're seeing is something fairly significant that will happen in the coming days in Malaysia politically. And the sultans, the monarchy here, their role in politics is very minimal. But in recent months, they've been asked to assume the role of adjudicator.
Right.
So now that role is bringing scrutiny on them, you know, and also the way they operate. So all of this is yet again another layer in this political crisis that Malaysia is going through now.
Times are changing.
Now, yes, it is.
All right, Leslie, thank you very much for all your insights from around the region. Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez joining us there.
The Asian Insider podcast channel is also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Like us and rate us.